Guten Tag. That's German. Yeah, I'm bilateral. Your cousin. From Boston. Sam Adams Oktoberfest is back for a limited time. It's hearty with a roasty sweetness. Hey, I can swear in German, too. Watch this.
Das. The Boston Beer Company. Boston, Mass. Enjoy responsibly.
Hello, everybody. I'm Ed Robinson, and welcome to another exciting edition of The Robinson Show. On the program, I have her back on, Kendall Williams. Kendall is a heptathlete that competed at the 2020 Summer Olympics in Tokyo, Japan. On the program, we discuss her Olympic experience in Tokyo, the differences in competing in Rio de Janeiro in 2016 and in Tokyo in 2021, and so much more. Kendall is coming up after the break. Stay tuned. You're listening to The Robinson Show.
Guten Tag. That's German. Yeah, I'm bilateral. Your cousin. From Boston. Sam Adams Oktoberfest is back for a limited time. It's hearty with a roasty sweetness. Hey, I can swear in German, too. Watch this.
Das. The Boston Beer Company. Boston, Mass. Enjoy responsibly.
With Cox Internet and Home Life, you know when your pizza delivery is there.
Cox Home Life. Show from porch camera.
Pizza!
View your Cox Home Life cameras right from your TV with your Contour voice remote.
Advertised features require Cox Internet and Contour TV subscriptions. Services provided by Cox licensed entities. See cox.com/licenses.
Guten Tag. That's German. Yeah, I'm bilateral. Your cousin. From Boston. Sam Adams Oktoberfest is back for a limited time. It's hearty with a roasty sweetness. Hey, I can swear in German, too. Watch this.
Das. The Boston Beer Company. Boston, Mass. Enjoy responsibly.
Hi.
Guten Tag. That's German. Yeah, I'm bilateral. Your cousin. From Boston. Sam Adams Oktoberfest is back for a limited time. It's hearty with a roasty sweetness.
Hey, I can swear in German, too. Watch this.
Das. The Boston Beer Company, Boston, Mass. Enjoy responsibly.
Hi, I'm Randy, and this is Dave.
We're the founders of Bombas, the most comfortable socks in the history of feet.
So comfortable, we sold and donated millions of pairs.
To sell and donate a lot of socks, we became obsessed with comfort.
We reinvented the sock from the ground up, adding comfort innovations along the way.
It worked. People tried them, loved them, told their friends about them.
Helping us sell and donate millions of pairs.
Try them now at bombas.com/comfy and get 20% off your first order. That's bombas.com/comfy.
Guten Tag. That's German. Yeah, I'm bilateral. Your cousin. From Boston. Sam Adams Oktoberfest is back for a limited time. It's hearty with a roasty sweetness.
Hey, I can swear in German, too. Watch this.
Das. The Boston Beer Company. Boston, Mass. Enjoy responsibly.
This Friday and Saturday, get in for a better breakfast at Wendy's and get it for free. Yes, free. That's a bacon or sausage, egg, and Swiss breakfast croissant for free. As in free. No catch. So in other words, breakfast, free. Croissant, free. At Wendy's, free. Friday and Saturday, free. August 13th and 14th. Get yours during breakfast hours, only at Wendy's.
Limit one per person per day at participating Wendy's. No substitutions, not valid within combo or with other offer while supplies last.
Third. With Cox Internet and Home Life, you know when your pizza delivery is there.
Cox Home Life, show from porch camera.
Pizza!
View your Cox Home Life cameras right from your TV with your Contour voice remote.
Advertised features require Cox Internet and Contour TV subscriptions. Services provided by Cox licensed entities. See cox.com/licenses.
Final heat of the women's heptathlon 100-meter hurdles. Here's American Kendall Williams, 26-year-old from Murrieta, Georgia. She is the best hurdler in the history of the heptathlon. And in fact, Tim, she's probably one of the best 5 or 10 100-meter hurdlers in all of the United States. I expect a massive number coming from Kendall Williams here in lane number 5. And if she wants any chance to medal, she needs a massive number here, something in the 12.5s or 12.6s. Williams gets out quickly. She's first to the opening hurdle. Vetter trying to go with her. Kendall Williams still leading. Vetter's there. Erica Bogard coming on the outside. Kendall Williams leads him through. Goes 12.97. Oh, the wind had flipped around on this heat. That's a tough break for heat 3. First two heats had favorable wind. This heat into a swift headwind sees Williams score 1,129 points with that winning time.
Yeah, that's one of the anomalies of the Maltese, Bill, is the weather conditions can change from one group to another.
So after the first of 7 events at Tokyo Olympic Stadium in the women's heptathlon, American Kendall Williams is into the lead, 1,129 points. Kuala second, Vedder third, Erica Bogard into fourth.
We move to the heptathlon high jump coming up.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. That audio was courtesy of NBC Sports and the Olympics. And, of course, Kendall Williams was in action in the heptathlon at the 2020 Tokyo Summer Olympic Games. And, unfortunately, Kendall had a much better showing. She finished fifth this time around. She didn't get the gold, but she had a much better finish than Rio in 2016. We're going to talk to her about her Tokyo experience and also some other stuff. We want to welcome her back to the program. United States Olympian Kendall Williams. Hey, Kendall, welcome back.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be back on the program. So let's get right to it. You know, Tokyo, of course, the Olympics have come and gone, and it was an interesting one because there were no fans and things of that nature. We're going to get to all of that in just a moment, but just describe to the listeners out there, what was your Tokyo experience like?
It was great. I think despite all of the, you know, question marks surrounding like how it was going to go with no fans, I think that Japan did an amazing job putting on the Olympics, and the hospitality was great. The people of Japan are super, super nice. I think we all had a good time and made the most of the experience.
Awesome. Yeah, I want to ask you about the Olympic Village. Can you describe to the listeners out there just kind of like what was the experience like in the Olympic Village?
It's a bunch of high rises, and the big countries have their own buildings. So Team USA had, you know, the high rise completely for, you know, all things Team USA, all sports. And then, you know, Great Britain had their own high rise. Team China had their own high rise. And then like the smaller countries, like, you know, Estonia might share with, you know, Kazakhstan or something like that. And so, when you drive into the Olympic Village, it's just, you know, a bunch of just these high rise buildings with the country flag, draped outside of each floor of the building, which is kind of cool to kind of walk around and just see, you know, which countries where. There's a giant dining hall, and that's where all countries eat. And that's open 24 hours a day. And what else? There's a weight room, like a little gift shop kind of thing. And that's it. It's pretty large. It's a pretty large area. But yeah, it's kind of like everything you need is just in that one place. The living accommodations were apartment style. So I was in a suite with three other people, and we each had our own room, but some apartments had two people to a room, so like six people in a suite. The beds were made out of cardboard. I think I got a lot of questions about that. The beds were actually cardboard with a kind of like a thin mattress on top. So I think that was probably the only hard part about the whole thing was sleeping on a bed that wasn't, you know, as comfortable as the ones that we have here. But other than that, it was a really great experience, and everything was so clean, and like I said, the people of Japan were just super friendly and nice.
You know, that was a big deal before the Olympics had started with the beds being made out of cardboard. Did you get a good night's sleep on those beds considering the circumstances? Because I know athletes are all about routine and, you know, making sure they have the proper preparation and planning and things of that nature. So were you able to have a good night's sleep preparing for your competitions?
Eventually. So I personally have back issues. So I don't sleep comfortably on any and every bed. So I actually had to order a mattress topper to make my surface a little bit softer. But I do know that a lot of people didn't have an issue at all with the beds as they were. I think it just depends. I think the people, I don't know, you know, if anybody saw like Allison Felix's Instagram story, but she ordered a mattress topper and, you know, kind of configured some boxes to make the bed even a little bit bigger. Cause she also said that she had some back problems and I think some like neck issues or whatever. So mattress was uncomfortable for her. And again, mattress was uncomfortable for me, for my back. But then you talk to some other people and they're like, yeah, I slept perfectly fine. So, I think it just all depends on who you are. But for me, after I put the mattress topper down, it was like a night and day difference.
Okay, and then one of the things that you mentioned, Kendall, was about the dining hall. And we know that's kind of like one of the crown jewels of the Olympic Village. We hear Olympians talk about the dining hall. And as you mentioned, that the dining hall was open 24/7. What were the options that were available for Tokyo?
They have a lot of different lines. So they did have like a traditional Japanese line. But then they have all the common stuff. Like they had pizza every day. They had pasta. They had, you know, chicken, shrimp, rice, potatoes, hamburgers, fries. And then you go in the Japanese line and there's sushi and there's miso soup and there's, you know, the Japanese like jasmine rice. So it was like a good variety of stuff. I think they try to cater to everyone. Obviously there's fruits and, you know, salad, vegetables and, you know, cooler of drinks and all that. So, yeah, they pretty much just try to have things that everyone can recognize and that things that everyone can eat no matter what country you're from. So, yeah, it was a two-story dining hall, whereas in Rio, I think it was just one big one-level dining hall. So it was kind of cool that this one had another level to accommodate all the people. And at the dining hall, they had us in cubicles. So like, you can go and sit with, you know, whoever you want to sit with. But if I'm sitting across the table from you, there's like some like plexiglass or whatever in between, and then if I'm sitting next to you, there's, you know, a little glass thing blocking you in, so you're pretty much sitting and, you know, in cubicles, but, you know, that's, I guess that's the only way you're allowed to, like, you know, really sit with your friends and being in a big area. They're trying to keep it as safe as possible, so hand sanitizer and plastic gloves, you know, as soon as you walk in, and then once you sit down you can take your mask off, but then you're in kind of like a cubicle thing.
All right, we're going to get more into COVID and things of that nature in just one moment. But I want to stay with the dining hall for a moment. What were some of the things that you enjoyed eating at the dining hall during your time at Tokyo? Well, in Tokyo, excuse me.
Yeah, I really loved the miso soup. I loved it so much that I even had to call my mom afterwards and say, "Mom, I just had probably the best soup ever." I had the miso soup, and I had teriyaki chicken, and they had salmon. And so I put the teriyaki sauce on the salmon as well. So I kind of made like a teriyaki chicken and salmon over some white, you know, jasmine rice miso soup. So that probably was my favorite meal that I had while I was over there. I think I might have made that same thing probably like three times when I was over there just because it was so good.
Okay, and then, you know, there were things that during the time, of course, Tokyo was and still is, unfortunately, still dealing with COVID issues. But I want to ask you, how did you, when not competing, did you have an opportunity to kind of have an opportunity to take in Tokyo culture the best way you know how? Because I know a lot of downtown Tokyo was shut down during the Olympics and, of course, with, you know, the COVID situation and stuff like that. But did you have an opportunity to kind of learn the language or maybe kind of take in any Japanese culture besides the food that you had?
Not at all. We were only authorized to go to the Olympic Village, our practice venue, and our competition venue. So outside of that, we could not go outside of those three areas. Didn't get to see Japan, didn't get to do anything really in Tokyo, because we were just not allowed to really leave the village. The only part in Japan that I got to see outside of the village was just what I could see from outside of the bus window as I was headed to practice or if I was headed to the competition. So from what it looked like from the bus window, a ton of buildings, kind of like New York, but just like a larger area, like there's a bunch of high rises, just, you know, packed all into one place, and they were everywhere. So I didn't really even see any open like grass fields or any land or anything. It was just strictly all high rise city buildings and stuff. It looked beautiful. It looked really cool. Nobody got to really go out and explore.
Guten Tag. That's German. Yeah, I'm bilateral. Your cousin. From Boston. Sam Adams Oktoberfest is back for a limited time. It's hearty with a roasty sweetness.
Hey, I can swear in German, too. Watch this.
Das. The Boston Beer Company, Boston, Mass. Enjoy responsibly.
Guten Tag. That's German. Yeah, I'm bilateral. Your cousin. From Boston. Sam Adams Oktoberfest is back for a limited time. It's hearty with a roasty sweetness.
Hey, I can swear in German, too. Watch this.
Das. The Boston Beer Company. Boston, Mass. Enjoy responsibly.
This.
Guten Tag. That's German. Yeah, I'm bilateral. Your cousin. From Boston. Sam Adams Oktoberfest is back for a limited time. It's hearty with a roasty sweetness.
Hey, I can swear in German, too. Watch this.
Das. The Boston Beer Company, Boston, Mass. Enjoy responsibly.
Friday and Saturday, get in for a better breakfast at Wendy's and get it for free. Yes, free. That's a bacon or sausage, egg, and Swiss breakfast croissant for free. As in free, no catch. So in other words, breakfast, free. Croissant, free. At Wendy's, free. Friday and Saturday, free. August 13th and 14th. Get yours during breakfast hours, only at Wendy's.
Limit one per person per day. Participating Wendy's. No substitutions. Not valid within combo or with other offer while supplies last.
Switching to Geico is a good idea, especially when you consider everything.
First off, Geico makes it easy to switch. They have licensed agents available 24/7 online or over the phone.
But if it's so easy, you might start thinking everything is easy, even big wave surfing. And it's not. It's actually quite difficult.
Well, if you switch to Geico, you could save hundreds on car insurance. And you could keep saving by bundling your motorcycle, boat, and RV, plus your home or renter's insurance.
But saving money might lead you to make some questionable purchases, like a 20-foot feather boa. And do you know how hard it is to clean a 20-foot feather boa?
Well, they do have an industry-leading mobile app you can use to pay your bill, file and manage a claim, or add a new driver.
But when life gets a little easier, it makes you too confident, and you start calling everyone Ace. And you're better than that.
Well, Geico has a 97% customer satisfaction rating and has been saving people money for 85 years. It's hard to beat that.
But you're right.
Switch to Geico. It's obviously a good idea.
Guten Tag. That's German. Yeah, I'm bilateral. Your cousin. From Boston. Sam Adams Oktoberfest is back for a limited time. It's hearty with a roasty sweetness.
Hey, I can swear in German, too. Watch this.
Das. The Boston Beer Company. Boston, Mass. Enjoy responsibly.
Picture yourself here. White sugar sand beach, clear blue-green water. This is Pensacola. It's the way to beach. Experience what's waiting at visitpensacola.com.
Kick back with some classical. And when you do, make a classic. Start with Eckrich Hardwood Smoked Sausage. Then, just add it to anything. Pasta, mac and cheese, chili, anything. As long as there's Eckrich, you'll get a standing ovation. Eckrich, you do you.
Yeah, from just watching it on television, it looks amazing. It does look similar to New York City. And you mentioned about COVID when we were talking about the dining hall, and you mentioned that they were doing COVID testing and you wear your mask and gloves and things of that nature. How frequently did you have to, did you and the athletes have to go through COVID testing, such as being in the dining hall and being in the village and going to the venues to get ready to do your competitions?
All athletes and staff had to test every single day with a saliva test. So they gave us, like our national governing bodies gave us, you know, these little vials, and that's what we were supposed to give our saliva sample every morning before we like brushed our teeth, before we ate anything. As soon as you wake up, do the saliva sample, and then you have to drop it off in the morning by a certain time. So that was every single day. In addition to that, we had to take our temperature every morning with the thermometer that they gave us and answer like a short little questionnaire in an app that we were required to download. So we had to keep track of our health for the duration of the time that we were over there by taking our temperature, answering these questions, and then also dropping off the saliva sample every morning.
Okay, and then speaking of the Tokyo experience, so you did your thing at Olympic Stadium in the heptathlon. You had a much better showing as opposed from Rio. We're going to get to that in just a little bit, but a lot of the athletes and really just sports in general thrives on fans being at the stadium, like fans really being in the stands and cheering on their athletes and fellow countrymen and countrywomen and things of that nature. What was that like? Competing and not having any fans in the stands and only having to listen to your coaches. What was that experience like?
Well, I think the multi, so the heptathletes and the decathletes had a little bit of an advantage because we never have a packed stadium to come and watch our stuff. So I think when we first started, it was like, oh, competition as usual, like, you know, very few people in the stands, just basically the coaches. So I think we had a little bit of an advantage in that regard, is that we're used to kind of a pretty empty of a stadium. But I will say that I noticed a difference on the events where I kind of rely on the crowd to, like, give me, like, a little boost of energy. So, like, high jump, for example, I'm someone that, like, when I get to the bigger heights or, you know, when I get to the heights that are getting close to my personal best, I usually, like, you know, get the crowd clapping to give me, like, an extra little boost of energy. So I did not have that this time around. And so that was kind of strange that I didn't have the option to, like, you know, get, like, a loud, you know, roaring clap going. Same with long jump. I mean, long jump, it's just fun to start the clap during the long jump, but it's just fun to kind of get the crowd involved, and especially since the long jump runway was right there kind of by the railing of the stands, it would have been cool had it been a packed stadium, you know, to be able to kind of have that experience. But all in all, I think they did a good job. The announcer was still going. They, you know, had music going. So it didn't seem quiet in there. Obviously other races were going on, and so, you know, the announcer was calling the other races. There was never a point where I felt like it was really empty. So I think in that regard, they did a really good job, you know, by just still creating noise, even though there wasn't anybody in there.
Listen to some good old-fashioned country. And when you do, cook up the best sausage in the country. Eckrich Smoked Sausage. Naturally hardwood smoked and crafted with just the right blend of spices. Perfect for lunch, dinner, or even right now. Eckrich. You do you.
The Bid podcast from BlackRock breaks down what's happening in the markets and explores the forces changing investing. We cover topics like the megatrends shaping our future, how the COVID-19 crisis will impact markets in 2021, and why companies should lead with purpose. Listen to The Bid wherever you get your podcasts.
At Dietz & Watson, we've been crafting premium meats and artisan cheeses for over 80 years, so we know a thing or two about making lunchtime delicious. Whether you're craving smoky, spicy, or sweet, we've got what you need to create the perfect sandwich. There's something for everyone in the family, plus plenty of protein-packed snacks. Head to DietzandWatson.com to find a local retailer near you. Dietz & Watson, it's a family thing. Premium meats and artisan cheeses since 1939.
Guten Tag. That's German. Yeah, I'm bilateral. Your cousin. From Boston. Sam Adams Oktoberfest is back for a limited time. It's hearty with a roasty sweetness.
Hey, I can swear in German, too. Watch this.
Das F***. The Boston Beer Company. Boston, Mass. Enjoy responsibly.
The only thing better than grinding all night for your side hustle is your roommate picking you up with Mickey D's breakfast. The perfect pickup deal.
There's a deal for every morning at McDonald's.
Now enjoy a hot and spicy McChicken biscuit or sausage biscuit with hash browns for just $2. Price and participation may vary, cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
At Dietz & Watson, we've been crafting premium meats and artisan cheeses for over 80 years, so we know a thing or two about making lunchtime delicious. Whether you're craving smoky, spicy, or sweet, we've got what you need to create the perfect sandwich. There's something for everyone in the family, plus plenty of protein-packed snacks. Head to DietzandWatson.com to find a local retailer near you. Dietz & Watson, it's a family thing. Premium meats and artisan cheeses since 1939.
At Vision for Less, you'll start the school year right by saving on glasses for classes. For $79, get two pairs of glasses with kid-safe polycarbonate lenses and a free one-year frame warranty that covers any breaks, bends, or bumps with the frame, meaning these glasses won't get in the way of your kid's day. Don't let the bell ring before you get a chance to shop and save. A $200 value, all for $79. Vision for Less. Right glasses, right price, right now.
It's my daughter's having a sleepover with five of her friends, but
I know just the place to go to get something for everybody. And just a little something for myself, too, meal. There's a meal for every moment on a McDonald's $1, $2, $3 menu.
Like a 4 for $4 deal. Get a McDouble and add 4-piece chicken McNuggets, small fries, and a medium soft drink for $4. Prices and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with combo meal.
As a parent, no 2 days are ever the same. At Care.com, you can find trusted and flexible sitters to help manage your family's ever-changing schedule. Care.com can even help you out with housekeepers, dog walkers, senior caregivers, and more, so you can find care for all you love. And 100% of caregivers who use Care.com have been background checked with CareCheck, a key first step in hiring confidently. To get the help you need to make it all work, sign up now and find a great sitter at Care.com.
I want to stay just kind of like with the atmosphere and no fans being in the stands in Tokyo, at particularly at Olympic Stadium for a track and field event. Did you feel that you were able – I know you mentioned that no one really shows up for the heptathlon and the decathlon events, but did you think you could concentrate – do you think you were able to concentrate more on your events as opposed to fans being in the stands and there's so much going on and you're trying to concentrate and listen to your coaches? So do you think – with no fans being in the stands, do you think you were able to concentrate better?
Not necessarily. I think at this level, we're used to competing with a lot of noise, with a lot of distractions, and I think for me, I can always hear Petros. If there's one person that I can hear, no matter if it's a crowded stadium, an empty stadium, across the stadium, I can always hear my coach, and I think that is just a testament to how like tuned in he and I are as coach and athlete. No matter what's going on, I can always hear his direction to the point where I don't even have to hear his voice. You know, a lot of coaches, if you watch on like TV or something, they're mimicking kind of what they want the athlete to do. They're communicating a lot through body language, just because, you know, we're so used to being in a noisy stadium to where like we might not be able to necessarily hear every word that you're saying, but if we can see we've been working with you long enough to know the body language of what you're trying to do and say and correct, then that's just as good as like hearing your every word. So at this Olympics, I was able to hear every word that my coach was saying, but I don't know, I understand him so well from near and far that like I didn't really feel like it affected my concentration one way or the other.
All right, and then let's move along now to, you mentioned about your experience in the Tokyo Olympics. Now, your first Olympic experience was in Rio in 2016. I want to ask you, in your opinion, what were the differences in competing in Rio in 2016 and for this Olympics in Tokyo?
I think just the fatigue, I would say. I mean, in Rio, I was coming off of my collegiate season, a full year in college. I did the full indoor season and the full outdoor season. The Olympic trials. And so by the time I got to the Olympics, my body was just so beat up feeling. And, you know, I was just so tired, just kind of dragging myself through. Whereas this time around, we were, this was only my third multi for the year. I didn't do any pentathlons indoor, so I was really coming in. So the difference of being in college and being a pro is that you can just train specifically for the big stuff. Another difference would be just years of experience. So I think back in 2016, I was still, in a way, learning a lot of the events, and my consistency wasn't really there. And so If I didn't do well in one event, that really, really put me in the hole because I wasn't sure how the other events after it were going to go. Whereas in this Olympics, you know, my day one got off to a really, really slow start, but I didn't, you know, freak out or anything because I knew that I had a strong long jump. I knew that I had a strong javelin on day two to put me in a better spot. And so yes, I think in Rio, it was still just, you know, aside from not being super fresh, just kind of having not as much of an understanding or as much consistency as I do as a 26-year-old now who's been on, you know, a couple of senior championship teams since then.
Want to hear some inside scoop? If your kids are as ready to go back to school as mine are, you've got to check out Kohl's. I got my daughters the cutest sew tops for under 18 bucks, JanSport backpacks for 25% off, and 30% off Levi's jeans for me. I even saved an extra 15% and picked up Kohl's cash. So, yeah, not sure who's more excited right now, me or the girls. Plus style. 15% offer ends August 15th. Levi's coupons do not apply. Some exclusions apply. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
This Friday and Saturday, get in for a better breakfast at Wendy's and get it for free. Yes, free. That's a bacon or sausage, egg, and Swiss breakfast croissant for free. As in free. No catch. So in other words, breakfast, free. Croissant, free. At Wendy's, free. Friday and Saturday, free. August 13th and 14th. Get yours during breakfast hours, only at Wendy's.
Limit one per person per day at participating Wendy's. No substitutions, not valid within combo or with other offer while supplies last.
The only thing better than grinding all night for your side hustle is your roommate picking you up with Mickey D's breakfast. The perfect pickup deal.
There's a deal for every morning at McDonald's.
Now enjoy a hot and spicy McChicken biscuit or sausage biscuit with hash browns for just $2. Price and participation may vary, cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
Football season is here. Stock up with Dietz and Watson, your official tailgate partner. And since the weekend is on its way, get ready to win with a halftime sandwich spread. Enjoy endless combinations with fresh sliced deli meats and cheeses in a variety of bold flavors. There's something for everyone in the family, plus plenty of protein-packed snacks. Head to DietzandWatson.com to find a local retailer near you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing. Premium meats and artisan cheeses since 1939.
It's my daughter's having a sleepover with five of her friends, but I know just the place to go to get something for everybody and just a little something for myself, too, meal. There's a meal for every moment on a McDonald's $1, $2, $3 menu.
Like a 4 for $4 deal. Get a McDouble and add 4-piece chicken McNuggets, small fries, and a medium soft drink for $4. Prices and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with combo meal.
The only thing better than grinding all night for your side hustle is your roommate picking you up with Mickey D's breakfast. The perfect pickup deal.
There's a deal for every morning at McDonald's.
Now enjoy a hot and spicy McChicken biscuit or sausage biscuit with hash browns for just $2. Price and participation may vary, cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
The only thing better than grinding all night for your side hustle is your roommate picking you up with Mickey D's breakfast. The perfect pickup deal.
There's a deal for every morning at McDonald's.
Now enjoy a hot and spicy McChicken biscuit or sausage biscuit with hash browns for just $2. Price and participation may vary, cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
Guten Tag. That's German. Yeah, I'm bilateral. Your cousin. From Boston. Sam Adams Oktoberfest is back for a limited time. It's hearty with a roasty sweetness.
Hey, I can swear in German, too. Watch this.
Das. The Boston Beer Company. Boston, Mass. Enjoy responsibly.
Guten Tag. That's German. Yeah, I'm bilateral. Your cousin. From Boston. Sam Adams Oktoberfest is back for a limited time. It's hearty with a roasty sweetness.
Hey, I can swear in German, too. Watch this.
Das. The Boston Beer Company, Boston, Mass. Enjoy responsibly.
Yeah, experience definitely plays a big part, not just in sports, but with anything in life, because with the experience, you have an understanding of what's going on, and then the vision's pretty clear, and you can kind of know what you need to do in order to make those corrections, and you definitely made a big corrections. You really improved, and because when you competed in Rio in 2016, you finished in 17th, and Olympics in Tokyo, you finished 5th. So that's a big accomplishment right there. And I'm looking at the final results right here. You're welcome. And I'm looking at the results here. We have the U.S. dominated in the top 10. You finished 5th along with your teammate Annie Kuntz finished 6th, and then Erica Bogard finished 9th. Just what was the – I know, again, this was a different Olympics because there weren't any fans there and considering the circumstances, but – just kind of like, what was kind of like the motivation, not just for you, but for Annie and Erica representing the United States coming into this event?
we knew that we were all in good shape. I mean, just from our performances at the Olympic trials. And so we were really excited to take, you know, three really dominant American women into the heptathlon, into the Olympics. And so I think that's what we were just excited. We just wanted to just put on the best show and for ourselves and also for our country. And I know that we were all slightly disappointed just because I think if we would have scored what we scored at the trials, our you know, I think Annie and I would have walked away with medals, and then Erica would have finished, you know, higher up on the standings as well. And so I think, you know, none of us had really the day or the 2 days that we were hoping for, but I think we were also just really happy that and encouraged that, like, even on not our best day, we can still finish in the top 10 for all of us, because I don't think that's happened in a while for all three American women to finish in the top 10. So still a good showing, even though, you know, obviously we are our biggest critics, and so we wanted more out of ourselves. You know, it was so much fun to be able to compete with them and to celebrate, you know, just getting through another hard heptathlon.
Well, speaking of a hard heptathlon, Katarina Johnson-Thompson, who represents Great Britain, she finished sixth in the heptathlon in Rio in 2016. She did not finish in this competition, of course, due to a calf injury that she suffered. I know the Olympic atmosphere for events is pretty competitive, but did you have an opportunity to kind of, like, briefly talk to Katarina, or, you know, any of the athletes have an opportunity to just kind of see her and just, you know, wish her well and things of that nature?
Well, I don't know. For me, my heat was running after her, so I was watching her on a screen back in the warm-up area, and I saw her heat run, and then they brought us out right after. So I didn't see her really. The people that were in that race with her, I'm sure they, you know, had some encouraging words, you know, told her, like, you know, how, you know, they felt bad or I'm sorry, you know, whatever. But I didn't see her until we were leaving the stadium, and she was, you know, walking with her, like, her medical staff and her coach. And I was, like, trying to catch a bus back to the village. Like, it was super late at night. And I just, like, tapped her on the shoulder and, you know, said that I'm, you know, sorry that that happened. And but, you know, again, this was like after 11 p.m. So I know both of us, you know, were so tired. So I didn't, like, stay there and have a conversation. But yeah, we were definitely really bummed to see that race and you know, her pull out, because obviously, you know, we're all in the multi world, we all cheer for each other, and you know, don't see anyone have that, you know, especially have an injury happen to where they have to stop. So yeah, definitely felt bad about that. And I hope I, you know, wish her a super speedy recovery.
Yeah, rightfully so. And speaking of recovery, I mean, Nafi Tiam was the Olympic champion in the heptathlon in 2016 in Rio, and she repeats as Olympic champion in Tokyo. She would win the gold medal, and then the Netherlands would take silver and the bronze. Sanuk Vetter would win the silver medal, and Emma Oosterweger would win the bronze. And again, you came in fifth. So Kendall, you were almost there. You had a shot at it right there. Of course, the final event in the heptathlon is always a great one, which is the 800 meters. And at the end, we saw Nafi, when she found out she won the gold medal and she got her flag and things of that nature. Did you have an opportunity to kind of, you know, speak briefly with her and just, you know, tell her congratulations as well as the other winners in the competition?
Oh, yeah. I mean, whenever we finish, like, all the heptathletes, like, we'll hug and say congratulations and all of that. And then we all take a victory lap together, which is different from the other events. The other events, if you take a victory lap, it's usually just the medalist. But for the heptathlon, decathlon, it's like tradition that we all go on the lap together, because it's like we brought each other through this, like, these grueling 2 days, and we all battled it out together. So, yeah, so there was definitely a lot of, like, smiles and laughs and hugs with everyone after we finished.
Picture yourself here. White sugar sand beach, clear blue-green water. This is Pensacola. It's the way to beach. Experience what's waiting at visitpensacola.com.
This Friday and Saturday, get in for a better breakfast at Wendy's and get it for free. Yes, free. That's a bacon or sausage, egg, and Swiss breakfast croissant for free. As in free. No catch. So in other words, breakfast, free. Croissant, free. At Wendy's, free. Friday and Saturday, free. August 13th and 14th. Get yours during breakfast hours, only at Wendy's.
Limit one per person per day at participating Wendy's. No substitutions, not valid within combo or with other offer while supplies last.
Grilling season is here. Keep things sizzling all summer long with Dietz and Watson. Fire up your Wednesday with perfectly smoked premium Franks and sausages. Or enjoy endless sandwich combos with fresh sliced meats and cheeses in a variety of bold flavors. There's something for everyone in the family. Plus, plenty of protein-packed snacks. Head to DietzandWatson.com to find a local retailer near you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing. Premium meats and artisan cheeses since 1939. At Dietz and Watson, we've been crafting premium meats and artisan cheeses for over 80 years, so we know a thing or two about making lunchtime delicious. Whether you're craving smoky, spicy, or sweet, we've got what you need to create the perfect sandwich. There's something for everyone in the family, plus plenty of protein-packed snacks. Head to DietzandWatson.com to find a local retailer near you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing. Premium meats and artisan cheeses since 1939.
The only thing better than grinding all night for your side hustle is your roommate picking you up with Mickey D's breakfast. The perfect pickup deal.
There's a deal for every morning at McDonald's.
Now enjoy a hot and spicy McChicken biscuit or sausage biscuit with hash browns for just $2. Price and participation may vary, cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
This Friday and Saturday, get in for a better breakfast at Wendy's and get it for free. Yes, free. That's a bacon or sausage, egg, and Swiss breakfast croissant for free. As in free. No catch. So in other words, breakfast, free. Croissant, free. At Wendy's, free. Friday and Saturday, free. August 13th and 14th. Get yours during breakfast hours, only at Wendy's.
Limit one per person per day at participating Wendy's. No substitutions, not valid within combo or with other offer while supplies last.
It's my daughter's having a sleepover with five of her friends, but I know just the place to go to get something for everybody and just a little something for myself too meal. There's a meal for every moment on a McDonald's $1, $2, $3 menu.
Like a four for $4 deal. Get a McDouble and add four-piece chicken McNuggets, small fries, and a medium soft drink for $4. Prices and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with combo meal.
Yeah, that's awesome because that's like one of my favorite things, not just in sports, but particularly in track and field, to get a chance to see all the athletes, you know, pose with their flags and come take a picture together. That's always fun. And I want to ask you just, you know, to have Tathlon, like the last time that you were on the show, you said it's a very grueling event and at times your body can hurt and you're going through different events and things of that nature. I want to ask you about altitude for a moment. Was the air, do you think, what was the difference between the air quality from Rio as opposed to Tokyo?
I didn't really notice the air quality, but I did. It is very, very humid in Tokyo, which is something I don't know that I was prepared for. I heard it was humid, but I wasn't prepared for that level of humidity because, I mean, I'm from Georgia, so I'm used to humidity, but that was even worse than what I'm used to being from here. So I think that was probably the main difference. In Rio, I don't remember the temperature, you know, getting in the way of anything, whereas, like, you know, here it was insanely, or in Tokyo it was insanely warm and humid to where, like, we were wearing ice vests, constantly chugging electrolytes and water. And even still, you know, one of the girls at the very end got, you know, really sick from the heat. So, yeah, I think that was probably the biggest difference. This Olympics is just trying to stay cool and stay hydrated for the conditions.
The only thing better than grinding all night for your side hustle is your roommate picking you up with Mickey D's breakfast. The perfect pickup deal.
There's a deal for every morning at McDonald's.
Now enjoy a hot and spicy McChicken biscuit or sausage biscuit with hash browns for just $2. Price and participation may vary, cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
It's my daughter's having a sleepover with five of her friends, but I know just the place to go to get something for everybody and just a little something for myself too, meal. There's a meal for every moment on a McDonald's $1, $2, $3 menu.
Like a 4 for $4 deal. Get a McDouble and add 4-piece chicken McNuggets, small fries, and a medium soft drink for $4. Prices and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with combo meal.
Football season is here. Stock up with Dietz and Watson, your official tailgate partner. And since the weekend is on its way, get ready to win with a halftime sandwich spread. Enjoy endless combinations with fresh sliced deli meats and cheeses in a variety of bold flavors. There's something for everyone in the family. Plus, plenty of protein-packed snacks. Head to DietzandWatson.com to find a local retailer near you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing. Premium meats and artisan cheeses since 1939. Grilling season is here. Keep things sizzling all summer long with Dietz and Watson. Fire up your Wednesday with perfectly smoked premium Franks and sausages. Or enjoy endless sandwich combos with fresh sliced meats and cheeses in a variety of bold flavors. There's something for everyone in the family. Plus, plenty of protein-packed snacks. Head to DietzandWatson.com to find a local retailer near you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing. Premium meats and artisan cheeses since 1939.
I remember I would when you said that you didn't expect Tokyo to be this humid, but not thought about something to when Rio had their Olympics in 2016, it was in a different hemisphere, so it was like their winter time. So it wasn't, I don't ever remember it being hot and humid, but I mean that was really one of the storylines of the Tokyo Olympics. There's just the humidity and the heat and things of that nature. And also another thing was American athletes, when they arrived in Tokyo, they had to get used to the time difference. How many days did it take you to get used to get your body adjusted to the time, because you lost a lot of hours of sleep?
Right. Yeah, it took about like 3 or 4 days for me to start to feel normal, because you're right. Yeah, it's like 13 hours from Georgia time, so it took a minute to start to actually feel normal. But yeah, but once I got on schedule, it was pretty good. And I think it was that way, pretty much on average for any athlete. Like some of my other friends on the team were like, I still feel so tired, like when they first arrived. And I was like, yeah, well, it took me like 3 or 4 days. And so I think, like, you know, it's a good thing that we were able to go out there so early, because you definitely do need that time to get acclimated.
Yeah, that's definitely a major jet lag right there. So it was good that you got several days to kind of get your body acclimated and get used to it so you could, you know, be your best to prepare for the competition. I know that you arrived to Tokyo after the opening ceremonies. Did you stay for the closing ceremonies?
Nope, I had a day or two before closing ceremonies, because after we have to leave 48 hours after our competition concludes.
Okay, yeah, see, I did hear about that, but I didn't know if you happened to stay or whatever. I heard about that rule, but I didn't know with track and field being so close to the closing ceremonies. I didn't know if you had stayed. Okay, but nevertheless,
no,
I mean, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry. Oh, I just said some people got to stay, you know, if it was within their 48 hours. So there were track people at the closing, but my competition ended, you know, too far in advance for me to stay.
Fair enough. And then give me some – first of all, I want to add – this is a two-part question. My first question is – give me some words to describe your Olympic experience in Rio de Janeiro, and give me some words to describe your Olympic experience in Tokyo.
In Rio, I would say intimidating. I would say fun. It was fun. And challenging. And then in Tokyo, I would say exciting, unique, and it was exciting, it was unique, And I don't know. I don't know how to describe it other than, like, I was more confident this time around, so I don't know how to encapsulate that. But, like, exciting, unique, and I was just more confident this time.
All right, fair enough. And speaking of confident, Paris has been very confident when they landed the Olympics in 2024, and they showed off their confidence in the closing ceremonies, and Paris is definitely going to be ready when 2024 approaches. What's Paris looking like for you? Too early, or you've got Paris on your mind?
I usually take it year by year. I am young enough to still, you know, do a third Olympics, but the next, you know, big thing would be World Championships in Oregon, which is exciting that, it, you know, World Championships is coming to the U.S. So, you know, my next fight will be on Worlds, and then, you know, my next fight after that will be, you know, 2023 Worlds. And then after that, I start really, you know, kind of zoning in on the next Olympics, because all of these years now are just kind of building blocks up to the Olympics. So I know if I continue to keep working towards, I guess, what would be my shorter-term goals, it'll eventually lead up to that longer-term goal, which would be the Paris Olympics. But I know I have a feeling that it's going to be really cool and they're going to do a great job in 2024.
Yeah, I think so, too. I mean, Paris is the city of lights, and it's going to be fantastic. We're going to get more into world championships and all that stuff in just a moment. But I think people forget that in track and field, yeah, the Olympics is like the pinnacle. But people also forget about the world championships and also the Diamond League. You mentioned world championships. Are you going to compete and do any Diamond League the remainder of the year and going into the following year?
I think so. I believe my season has ended for this year. Now I say this and then my agent could call me tomorrow and say that there's something else, but as of right now, my season, I've shut it down. I'll be actually starting my master's program next Wednesday. So I will be transitioning into school mode and giving my body a rest as far as I know, and then just, you know, supporting my friends and, you know, and former teammates, you know, on the Diamond League circuit. And then, you know, but, you know, who knows, next summer might be a different story and might jump on the Diamond League circuit, you know, after World Championships. So we will see.
Awesome. Congratulations on your being in school. And as I know, the last time we had spoken, you mentioned that you were going to be starting graduate school, so congrats on that. And I want to ask you just, I know the Olympics as far as track and field is concerned is like the creme de la creme and things of that nature, but what are the differences between competing at a world championships as opposed to competing at an Olympics?
The staff they're hired on Olympic years just because they don't come around as often. So the world championships come around every other year. So yes, people still want to make that team, and yes, it's still a huge championship, but, you know, they're like, okay, if I don't make it and, you know, in this year, it's not, you know, another 3 or 4 years of waiting. It's like, okay, I just have to wait, you know, another year or two. So that's the different, one of the differences. Another difference is world championships is just track and field, whereas the Olympics is all sports. So when we go to these meets, it's just track and field, you know, in every country around the world versus like every sport in every country around the world. So I guess in that regard, tiny bit smaller, but still a huge championship for us track and field athletes.
Awesome to hear. You know, one of the things about track and field is pay. Like a lot of, you know, we hear some athletes that are sponsored athletes. They have different tennis shoe companies as well as also a lot of food companies that will sponsor the athletes and things of that nature. I want to ask you, are athletes paid to be in the Olympics, and are athletes paid to participate in the World Championships?
No, we aren't paid to be at the Olympics, but the athletes that do have a shoe contract usually have some you know, bonuses and things that are added if we do make an Olympic team, or if we, you know, place well or medal. All of that kind of ties back into like the stipulations in your contract. So yeah, you're not paid by anyone to be there, but, you know, your performance there can equate to some amount of money if you're signed with like a shoe company. And then also you get, you know, funding from USATF for making the team. And, but we're not like necessarily paid for being in the Olympics or World Championships. And World Championships actually has more prize money than the Olympics. In the Olympics, you get paid for the top three, so like the medal positions, whereas World Championships, they pay top eight or top 10 or something like that. So more, I guess, money-making opportunities for World Championships. But, you know, if you do make an Olympic team, you can, you know, depending on what's in your contract, can make some more money that way.
Awesome. I was always curious about that because I know money has always been tight in track activity. It's getting a little bit better with more opportunities and stuff. So I was kind of curious about that with Olympics and World Championships and things of that nature. Well, you heard it from her. She's Kendall Williams. She placed 12th in the heptathlon at the 2016 Summer Olympics in Rio de Janeiro, and she had a much better showing in Tokyo, placing fifth. And we hope for the best in her career as well as all her academic pursuits. And Kendall, before we let you go, where can people find you on social media?
So mainly on Instagram. If you go to KDUBB_100. You will find my Instagram page.
Awesome. And you heard it from her. She's Kendall Williams. She's an Olympian and giving us her experiences and about Tokyo and what she has coming up for her. Kendall, thank you so much once again. If ever you want to come back on, just feel free to let us know.
Awesome. Thank you for having me.
All right. You're welcome. We'll be back with more right after this.
Third and final heat of the women's heptathlon 100-meter hurdles. Here's American Kendall Williams, 26-year-old from Murrieta, Georgia. She is the best hurdler in the history of the heptathlon. And in fact, Tim, she's probably one of the best 5 or 10 100-meter hurdlers in all of the United States. I expect a massive number coming from Kendall Williams here in lane number 5. And if she wants any chance to medal, she needs a massive number here, something in the 12-5s or 12-6s. Williams gets out quickly. She's first to the opening hurdle. Vetter trying to go with her. Kendall Williams still leading. Vetter's there. Erica Bogard coming on the outside. Kendall Williams leads him through. Goes 12.97. Oh, the wind had whipped around on this heat. That's a tough break for heat three. First two heats had favorable wind.
145 over 92.
180 over 111.
182 over 100. And I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest and then a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure looks like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a heart attack or stroke are far from invisible or silent.
My memory is shot.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak.
I can't button up a shirt. I can't run.
I've had to learn to swallow again. That's the only movement that I have. And I'm 33, so I never see this coming.
If I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation.
Had I done this, had I done that, hell, I messed up.
Get back on your plan or talk with your doctor to create an exercise, diet, and medication plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhpp.org.
Head to toe, everything's changed. Head to toe.
All right, that's going to do it for another exciting edition of The Robinson Show. Once again, a big special thank you to Kendall Williams for sharing her Olympic experiences with us. And remember, check out Kendall at the various social media platforms on Instagram and Twitter. And again, representing the United States proud in the Olympics as a member of the United States Olympic track and field team. Until next time, I'm Ed Robinson. And remember, put God first in everything you do and you can't go wrong. Until next time, stick to the script. I'm out. Peace.